Pray with me. We're together this morning in hope, and God's word is like bread to our hearts. We cannot live without it. God's word is like rain that comes down upon the earth. It brings forth fruit in our lives. Come now and share with us in hearing the word of God lived out in our midst. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Amen. Good morning. Do you believe in God?
Yes.
All right, can I hear it again? You believe in God?
Yes.
I'll come back to that in a moment, and thank you for the good response. Maren and I have recently been really enjoying reruns of Happy Days. Anybody know the show? Anybody know Arthur Fonzarelli or the Fonz? The other night we were watching it, and the Cunningham family was gathered around their table having dinner. And Mr. Cunningham looked over at Fonzie and said, I think we'll ask Fonzie to say grace tonight. There was a beautiful, awkward silence, just like that. And then the great character Fonzie looked and said, hey, God, thanks. One of the most beautiful graces you can say, right? My kids used to thank my employer back in the day when I worked elsewhere. A little bit of trouble with that, but the question I would ask Arthur Fonzarelli if he were here is, you know, who is this God you just prayed to? Who do you believe in? And I think that the character in the show actually is a story of redemption, of don't judge a book by its cover. He comes across as the tough guy and the macho image and all the rest of that, and it's not very politically correct in a variety of ways. But I think that at his core, that character is a good one, is a good person. He'll often teach the other younger teenagers moral lessons about right and wrong. He's quite often guiding them down the straight of maybe off the little fibs and lies they tell mom and dad to, you know, let's be honest. And so I think there's a good character there. But the question is, who is God? And how do we articulate who God is? You each said that you believe in God, and I trust that you do. The question, and it's been a question for generations, is who is God and how do we speak of God? So when you're with your teenage kids or you're with your neighbors or somebody who doesn't profess to believe in God, how do you actually explain the God who it is you believe in? And, you know, if we go back to our early church fathers, they were struggling with this. It was a huge conversation. It was a conversation that ended up in war. It ended up with Roman gladiators. It ended up with all sorts of terrible things. And yet, somehow or another, we've needed to walk through it and come up with a doctrine. And we call that doctrine the Holy Trinity. And some would say, well, why doctrines? It's a great book, by the way, written by a guy named Charles Heffling called Why Doctrines? And it's a good question, but really, at its core, doctrines are an aid to communication that we use to explain something, sometimes complex. And if you look at one of our documents in the Book of Common Prayer, way near the back, page 695, you'll find the Creed of Athanasius, rarely used anymore because of a variety of things that we would consider not very politically correct today. But the description of the Holy Trinity, I'm going to just take little bits of it. Whom with thy co-eternal Son and Holy Spirit, and they use ghost, by the way, but I'll translate to spirit, we confess as one God in trinity of persons and in unity of substance. For that which we believe thy glory, O Father, the same we believe of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The faith is this: we worship one God in trinity and the trinity in unity, neither confusing the persons nor dividing the substance. The Father is almighty, the Son is almighty, the Holy Spirit almighty. Remember the egg for a moment. And yet there is not three almighties, but one almighty. So the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God, and yet there are not three gods, but one God. So the Father is Lord, the Son is Lord, the Holy Spirit is Lord. And yet there are not three lords, but one Lord. There is therefore one Father, not three fathers, one Son, not three sons, one Holy Spirit, not three Holy Spirits. And in this Trinity, there is no before or after, no greater or less, but all three persons are co-eternal, together and co-equal. So that statement, although a wee bit complex, is really saying out loud what it feels like we believe today, and that is that we trust that there's one God, we believe in one God, but that God has co-equal parts that speak into our lives. So I always like to, I think you're getting to know me by now, that I like to frame things around experiential. So how do we experience the Holy Trinity? Actually it was yesterday at the Coventry Cathedral presentation, one comparison was made that it's a little bit like trying to navigate traffic circles, or in their language it was like getting on some of the major highways of England. And the fact that there was always disagreement and diversity around who would go when and how we had to intertwine and find ways to collaborate and be cooperative, and that even at a traffic circle sometimes it just doesn't work, and two vehicles try to reside in the same physical space and it doesn't go well. So actually though, I think with the relationship of the Holy Trinity, we're much more gentle than that. We are the dream traffic circle, the one where everyone is courteous and everyone lets the other go and the next come in behind, and it works and it flows. And if you watch it, it's actually a beautiful thing. I love entering into View Royal and taking turns as we merge into traffic. When it works, it's fantastic. When somebody gets pushy, not good. But this teaching of the God the Father. So God the Father is, we've got to be a little careful. We'll tend to go back to the Old Testament, fire and brimstone, God of judgment, God that we're afraid of, God that we need a rope tied to our ankle to go into the presence of. And even the word Father related to God is a struggle for some. You're hearing us more often say gracious God or words like that, precious and loving God, because for some, the Father metaphor actually doesn't work well. If you've had difficult fathering or you've had challenges in your life around father figures, calling God your Father just sometimes can actually make that wound even deeper. So for some, we need to use language that works for them. God the Father is pretty accepted in our church life, but I think we need to be aware that it's not everybody's word. Yet if we think of the absolute best attributes of a good father, in Hebrew when we hear the word Abba, I think it was in Scripture last Sunday, it's best translated as daddy. So if you think of a child at the feet of a father saying, daddy, daddy, that is something like, or maybe even dada, maybe that first word that a child utters. That's a little bit like us reaching out to God the Father. And it's not that God of the Old Testament is to be ignored. It's not that God didn't have some good things for us. That God has some amazing and wonderful things for us. It's just that as the covenant changes, as Jesus the Son was sent, and remember, God the Father, the God of the Old Testament, so loved the world that he felt the need to send part of who he is to be with us. So Jesus, the Son, who comes along and we experience very much in the human form. Greg has a wonderful talk on Jesus the man. And yes, Jesus the man is an extremely important part of who we are. The ministry that took place as he walked this earth, the teaching, the preaching, the proclaiming, all that went with it. And we learn lots from Jesus. We also then bridge into Jesus the divine. And we experience that through miracles, through works, through presence. Today, we hear in Hebrews that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's an interesting statement I'll come back to in a moment about past, present, and future, but experiencing the fact that Christ lives today, lives in our hearts, walks with us, talks with us. We sing the old hymn, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." And in that, we talk about taking everything to prayer, through prayer to Jesus. We talk about having a friend who walks with us through trials and tribulations, through joys and celebrations. That's the Jesus we know, the Jesus that illuminates Holy Scripture for us, the Jesus of whom is part of the triune God that we build relationship with through Holy Scripture. And then we look at the Holy Spirit. Jesus promised us the Holy Spirit. We heard it last week. We heard it and experienced it through the readings of the Day of Pentecost. And the Day of Pentecost, as we said, was not a one-time, it's over, that's it for the Holy Spirit till next year. No, not at all. The Holy Spirit's available for all. And it's available always. Ask and you shall receive. Knock and the door shall be opened unto thee. So as we ask for the Holy Spirit, we receive. And I think the Holy Spirit is like that prayer shawl. It wraps around us, sent as an advocate from Jesus. Advocate, best translated here, means one who walks alongside, and one who walks alongside and guides and cares for and nudges and allows us to take risks and prompts us when to hold back and helps us to listen. That first step in celebrating diversity, listen. It's all encompassed a little bit in some words from the prophet Micah, where we're told to walk, O mortal, and stay with what is good. And that the Lord asked what the Lord requires of us, and that is to do justice and to do mercy. And when we're following that, we're living out the commandment to love one another, to love God, and to walk gently with each other, and to be open and hospitable. I think one of the calls of the Holy Spirit, of God the Father, of Jesus the Son, would be to take risk in relationship, to be the one that comes from the other side of the coffee room and says, hi, my name is, who are you? It'd be nice to get to know you and spend time with the stranger, spend time with the other, take risk and celebrate and use your imagination and believe that by taking risk, you'll enrich your own life as well. You will meet people, you will hear stories, you will deepen who you are as a Christian person by taking the risk. And if you're an introvert, praise be to God, but half an hour in the coffee room, we could give up our introversion and be extroverted and maybe even enjoy it. So for that, I pray that we would each learn those relationships. But I want to just end on this message of Together for Hope. We look at the past, we look at the present, and we look at the future. And in the framework of Jesus Christ being the same yesterday, today, and forever, we could say the Holy Trinity the same yesterday, today, and forever. So what's the past about? The past is about listening. It's about healing the wounds of history. We can't rewrite it. History is history, whether it's biblical history, Canadian history, world history. We can't rewrite it. We can possibly not repeat it, but us human beings sometimes mess that up. But the past is about listening, healing. The present, it's a word called hesped, celebrating diversity. That's back to the traffic circle. How do we work together when we may not even agree? It's okay to not agree. What's important is how we treat each other when we disagree. Future, act and walk humbly and build a culture of peace. Our prayer, our hope, our journey, our wish, our desire, our charge, our call from the Holy Trinity is to live as peaceful, merciful people of justice who care and love for each other and who care and love for God's world in ways that are identifiable by our friends out there, identifiable by our families, identifiable within our own community. So for that we give thanks. For that we pray to this blessed Holy Trinity. And we ask that God would enter each of our hearts and dwell in our spirits this day and always. Amen.